Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollering, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maureen Hollering, and you are listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. This evening, our guest is Dr. Athena Drews, and she's a licensed child psychologist, parapsychologist, and a volunteer consultant to the Ryan Research Center and the Parapsychology Foundation on the Children's Psychic Experiences. Excuse me. Before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-host, Steve. How are you tonight?
I'm very well, thank you, Maureen. How are you doing?
I'm just fine, thank you so much. So formal and polite. Would you please tell us all about your work?
Absolutely. I'm a psychic medium. I give readings on psychicaccess.com, and I primarily channel directly from spirit, but I'm also very interested in all forms of metaphysics and metaphysical tools such as astrology, tarot, and everything I can possibly learn about, basically.
Well, I think that's fabulous. You are fabulous.
Thank you. You too.
Well, thank you. I was looking for a compliment. Well, thanks, Steve. Brenda, hi. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. And I see that you're doing well, even though it's overcast where you're at, huh?
Yeah, I'm really complaining about the beach, aren't I?
You shouldn't. It's mysterious.
It's a fog out. And Brenda, please tell us your expertise.
Well, I'm a straightforward, predictive psychic. No nonsense. If you want to hear the truth, you'll call me, honey. And I use traditional tools, crystal ball, tarot, and I work for psychicaccess.com. And there you have it.
There you have it. That's my line you took.
Oh, did I? Oh, my goodness.
You know, I started that.
Pick it out of your brain.
Everybody's talking that line now, and I started it a long time ago.
That's, you know what? If imitation is the best form of flattery.
I copyrighted that, okay? Anyway. Well, my name is, well, we all know Maureen, and I am also work with my co-host at psychicaccess.com. I'm not a predictive psychic. I like that, Brenda, though. I am an empath, a crazy girl, and I work with tarot, and I love my work, and there you have it. There you have it. So, the Indio children have been incarnating on the Earth for the last 100 years. So the early Indigos, known as the pioneers to lead humanity to spiritual development. So after World War II, a significant number were born, and these are the Indigo adults of today, like us. The crystal children began to appear on the planet from about 2000, year 2000, although some date them slightly earlier. They are extremely powerful children whose main purpose is to take us to the next level in our evolution and reveal to us our inner power and divinity. I have a little bit of a cold, everybody, so bear with that. So Dr. Athena Drews, she's a licensed child psychologist, parapsychologist. She's also on the advisory board of the Ryan Center. Dr. Drews has conducted research, written articles, and reviews, and presented on children's ESP experiences. She responds to parent and child inquiries regarding children and ESP that come into the Ryan Research Center and through A&E. She has been featured on the A&E cable shows Psychic Children and Paranormal State. Dr. Drews is currently the director of clinical training at a large nonprofit multi-service child and family mental health agency in Hudson Valley, north of New York City. I encourage you all to check out her website. It's uh, http well, you know, perceptivechildren.org. It's very informative, and that will also be listed on our guest page, on her listing. And Dr. Drews, hi. Welcome to our show. Oh, wait, she's not on yet, so that's okay. Steve, Brenda?
We're here.
It's like so quiet. Like I thought I had floated off to the vortex.
So, the triangle.
Dr. Athena Drews will be with us in a moment. And in the meantime, what do you guys think? I think we're all indigos. I love that word.
I love it too, and I think that we have to be indigos. That's why we're so weird. No.
Oh, there she is. Hi, Dr. Athena Drews. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. It's good to be back on the show.
Yeah, it's been you were on almost exactly a year ago, and I'm so happy that you are here again, and because you're the woman that we need for this topic especially. And I would like to ask you, what inspired you to your profession or your path of child psychologist with helping with and children with and parents with the psychic experiences? What drove you to there?
Well, I had my own childhood experience back when I was about 10. I had a lot of psychic experiences as a child and throughout the rest of my life to now. I had a dream that was a precognitive dream. I was about to go to sleep, and I was still finishing a book I wanted to finish, and my mother insisted I go to sleep and shut the light off on me, and I was very, very angry about that as I fell asleep. And that night I had a dream that felt very different from all the other dreams I've ever had. I was viewing a scene from as though I was out of my body from on high, and saw a car accident, and saw my mother wheeled in on a flatbed stretcher with wheels that I had never seen before. I knew that she was harmed. And I saw my brother, the younger of my two older brothers, sitting in a wheelchair, but knew that he wasn't hurt. And about 2 weeks later, as we were coming back from a family outing, we were in a car accident, and the scenes replayed exactly as I had dreamt them. My mother was indeed hurt, wheeled in on a gurney, and had a broken pelvis, and my brother was sitting in a wheelchair but not harmed. And I had told my father in the hospital that I had just dreamt this a few weeks before, and he looked at me very seriously and said, "Don't ever tell anyone about that again. Don't ever talk about that again." And it had a profound effect on me. I was, one, felt very guilt-ridden that perhaps I caused the accident somehow, as children believe. It made me wonder, how can dreams come true? What is it about that makes that happen? So my professional path was to become a child psychologist to help children feel validated in their experiences, regardless of what they are, as well as to continue studying and finding people who knew about the psychic world, and which I found at age 18, found kindred spirits at the parapsychology and psychophysics lab at Maimonides Hospital in Brooklyn, New York. They were doing telepathy experiments, dream telepathy. So I found that there was a whole world of researchers out there, and it opened a door for me to do research on children and ESP and write and speak about it. And in most recent years, the last 5 years or so, the two worlds have blended, where I get a lot of requests and families, parents, children asking for advice and help on their experiences, to feel validated, to know they're not crazy, to help avoid them going off in a wrong direction of being diagnosed or misdiagnosed, put on medication, or made to think they're crazy. So it's been a very interesting professional path and personal path for myself, and I'm glad I'm able to help children and families.
You know, I really wish you were around when I was growing up, because things have changed quite a bit since the 60s, and I think what you're doing is just wonderful, and for both parents and the children. But and things have kind of blended together, and I think it's lovely. You know, I wanted to ask you, well, because you see a lot of children that are highly intuitive, and they are called many names, like indigo, crystal. I don't even have them all. Rainbow, I think I've heard rainbow.
Right. Yep, there's sort of different evolutions and incarnations at different points. Yeah.
Okay, so Peak, you know, I mean, I love these names and everything, but are these just labels? Are they actually something to them? So there's different, from what I have read too, there is different generations, or like you just said, these children that are being born, or our age, you know, our age even, were.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of overlapping attributes among the groups, so it does make it almost impossible at times to make a clear distinction between who's an indigo and who's crystal and who's rainbow. I think that what is special about the generations coming in, regardless of what title we put on it, is that they have a lot of rich awareness and intuitive ability, past life remembrances, abilities to size up people, see auras on other people. They have unique auras themselves. It's a new generation of sensitive and intuitive people that are helping this earth evolve.
Yeah, you know, I was wondering if what is the difference? You know, besides what I've read, that's why you're here in being interviewed, because I feel that you would know this. What is the difference between the indigo and the crystal children? I guess you could throw a rainbow child in there too. I mean, right. Besides the time of where they're born, well, you know, what enlighten us? What's the difference?
Way back, I'd have to, you know, historically put a little bit on this. Meg Blackburn Losey wrote in The Children of Now about this new generation of children evolving with a lot of special gifts. And how she explained it is that we're created with layers and layers of very subtle energy, and energy communicates with all levels of reality, whether within ourselves and across the whole universe and our planet. And we usually tune into things that are beyond our five senses, so that there's this multi-dimensional awareness that we have. It's sort of harmonic resonance and frequencies, like a big musical chord that we all have. So some of the children coming in and individuals coming in are much more in tune and able to use that hypersensitivity to the people around them. You know, Lee Carroll way back wrote in 1992 the book Indigo Children. And she used that adjective because these particular children have an indigo bluish hued aura around them, and that would indicate some kind of advanced soul, part of their soul being very much a healer or a teacher. And back in 1982, there were people writing about it and classifying people as blue or violet or indigo. Also, that's the third eye chakra, which is the more sensitive, intuitive aspect. And even Edgar Cayce spoke about this kind of group of children, people coming into the world. So the first indigos, I guess, were back in around World War II. So a lot of us are adults at this point, first wave coming in, the baby boomers, flower children, and we were seen as the warrior generation, challenging the old, the out-of-date systems, things that were not helping bring in the new age of peace and breaking down these old systems and changing government and education and legal systems. seeing if leaders were worthy of our respect, working to change the systems, using our anger about the injustices that we were seeing, the dishonesty we were seeing, to change the world. So that's very much been happening, if you think back, over the years with this generation.
That's weird. I'm sorry. I have a little bit microphone. Well, you know, that's true, because you're talking about the baby boomers, which I'm at the end of the baby, would be the end tail. And the 60s were pretty interesting. I mean, we're shifting into a whole new thing. And so we kind of paved. We're the ones actually that really, it was difficult because we had to really pave the way or break down some of the old orders or the rules. So then to make room for the other children that would later be born, which now are called, well, the Indigo or Crystal. You know, my Brenda, one of my co-hosts here has a question. Brenda?
Yeah, you know, first of all, I'm fascinated, Dr. Drews, with your work. And I was commenting before the show that somebody that I know had seen you speak before, and she's a psychologist herself. And I was very fascinated because my daughter had she was just speaking, she gave me a whole dialogue of who she was married to, where she was from, and how many children she had and everything. And it's like she related this whole story, which I think that some people would call it a story. But what ages do you think they're most sensitive to talk about things like past lives and psychic experiences? I have heard it's like before the age of 7. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, there's a lot of research that was done by Dr. Ian Stevenson around the world of children's reports of past life experiences. And Dr. Tucker, who followed his work and worked with him and continues his work, in which children around the age of 18 months start to talk about past lives.
That's fascinating. See, that's about the time that she started saying that. It was very, very specific.
Yeah, and that's very a unique characteristic often of crystal children, children born from 1997 on. That they have a lot of knowing of past lives, can talk about, you know, I was with God or I was on the other side and I picked you, mommy, to be my mommy, but you're not like the other mommy I had, or when I was grown before or big before, so that they're just matter of fact about it all. They just accept it all and very in tune with it, have that knowing about all of these things.
Do you think that it's related to, and I've heard this theory before, that it's related to when the fontanelle kind of, you know, hardens or closes as they get older? Do you ascribe to that theory?
Well, I'm not sure it's necessarily related to that per se. I don't know of any scientific evidence to that extent, but I know that the memories do fade for a lot of children around ages 6 or 7.
Interesting.
In which they don't have as vivid memories. And I think part of it is they need to be in the present world and do the things they're here for and use whatever past life knowledge they have to help in this lifetime. But if you're constantly thinking about the past and stuck in it, you're not able to move on in the present. So,
well, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, sure does. I mean, absolutely.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
And Steve, you have a question for Dr. Drews as well. Go for it.
I do. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Drews. I'm very fascinated by your work as well. I wanted to ask you about the pineal gland. I was reading just recently about the pineal gland and the theory that it's the gateway between the physical world and the spiritual world, and that as children grow up, the pineal gland becomes calcified. Do you feel that there's a connection between the pineal gland and the calcification of the pineal gland and a child's ability or a person's ability to sense spirit and recall previous lives?
Well, I've heard of the the theory and a lot of the belief in the pineal gland. I know that in terms of meditation and accessing your spirituality and your psychic self, meditating and opening the third eye helps that link. I think that you personally, having had experiences as a child on through adulthood, that it doesn't necessarily calcify, but it may, depending on the child and depending on their environment and the people around them, they may shut it down, they may close it down because they've been told it's not a good thing, or they've been made to feel bad about their abilities and not nurtured. But it is something that can be reactivated and opened. As children grow up, what I've seen is usually when they start entering school, it tends to lessen their abilities because they're, one, changing from a right side of the brain to the left side of the brain in the way of education. They're being made to believe that these things are impossible or they're crazy. So they shut it down or they close it down or they keep it personal, like I did, and it ebbs and flows until they reach a point where the abilities start pushing through again, usually around puberty, and they get stronger.
So encouraging the child to use the, or encouraging an adult even to use the right hemisphere of their brain helps to open the pineal gland or helps to open up their spiritual psychic abilities.
Yeah. And definitely, being the type of a parent or teacher or a guide for them in encouraging them to trust their intuition and believe in it helps keep that connection open.
Well, thank you.
Well, that's the thing. When I was growing up and I was having all these things going on, I didn't have anything like to keep anything open, so it was very difficult. And so you're talking about the people that are our age that are making the pioneers making the way. The journey was tormenting for some. Yeah. If they didn't have, like what you were told never to talk about, that again, your dream. And, I was told I was just crazy. And that was that. So I think that, I think people listening to this, because I think a lot of, now we're really paying attention to the children. I feel that, Athena, that a lot of parents still need your help in helping their children, but it still has changed a bit where they're more open about how they're treating their children than it was when we were growing up, maybe. But I think that people need to understand that they should thank us that we were the heading pioneers. I don't know. I'm just saying because it is now that the children are – I mean, there's these beautiful names and it's lovely. All children are beautiful and lovely anyway, but we didn't have the name given to us when we were growing up. So there are indigo adults and we are it. So
that's right.
I mean, don't you agree? And I was wondering about the color, and I think indigo, that's just a beautiful, I love that word, and the color is just beautiful, but isn't the crystal color or the ore color for them like a lighter, like a whitish or something like that?
Yeah, actually, the crystal children have a harmonic frequency that's very different. They're the full spectrum of colors. So it would be almost like rainbows, but it's like pure, such pure color, lighter in intensity. Almost, it can be subtle. Even the rainbow children also, again, like I said, the divisions sometimes are not very distinct, but they do have a different aura.
Do you see auras? I mean, do you experience, some people, do you see auras?
I personally haven't, but I know many other people who have and are able to do it. I recently received an email from one parent who said she went into her child's room, and she herself has a lot of psychic sensitivities that she hasn't always acknowledged and is beginning to do so, and said how she looked on in her child's room, and she had a blue aura around her while she was sleeping. Uh-huh. And emailed me and said, "What is that? Well, you know, what am I seeing?" So it is this almost, combination of their own aura, their own abilities and sensitivities radiating through.
Right. You know, that must be kind of beautiful to see. I've tried to develop, I can develop it. I have in the past, if I practice, but that must be a beautiful sight. And, isn't the indigo or the, which is a crystal, the crystal children I read about their speaking patterns and, how they're, because of their speak, some of them don't tend to talk till they're, I read about this, I don't know if this is true, but they don't tend to talk until they're in their, sometimes some of them, till they're three or so. And yeah. So they get misdiagnosed or they get, told that they're autism or something I was reading about. Do you know, what's your thought about that? They get misunderstood, of course.
Yeah. I have heard and had parents contact me where their children appear as though they're delayed, but in fact they're quite intuitive and telepathic and very observant. They're very watchful, have these big, large, beautiful eyes, and they're taking everything in. They can almost see right through you, and they're very empathic also, which... they need to also be able to handle and learn how to manage, but they don't need to talk in some ways.
Yeah, their telepathy. It's like they talk in their own way. That's what my understanding was.
Mm-hmm. They're in tune. They're in tune with people, with nature, animals, and taking in a lot of information, and they don't need to talk, but. You're right. There is a tendency to have them be misdiagnosed. Both the indigo and crystal children often get misdiagnosed as having attention deficit, hyperactivity, because they tend to be into so much. They're flitting from one thing to another, and they don't always finish it because they're really tuned in on so many levels that it looks like it's attention deficit.
Right. Or they're hyperactive, or they can't sit still. They can't. And also, I think that what I think is really nice, I'm really into union, anything union, and about the collective consciousness. And I think, isn't this about really, we're the pioneers, but then they're all coming out so we can collectively start getting it together, all of us. And
I agree.
They're going to run our world. Well, hopefully we'll leave a world, we will. But, really, it's about, the schooling and such, for instance, aren't they, have you found that they're being a little bit more open or outside the box to some of these children now? Are they not, have you noticed teachers or do you talk to teachers or anything like that as well to help them understand?
Well, I try to, for those teachers that are open and sensitive and creative, just try to help them see each child as unique and different and not to put them all in the same box. And, of course, we know the best teachers are the ones that are able to be creative and intuitive and tap into their own spirituality and abilities and inspire and excite the students with that. But these children sometimes can't function in the regular classroom because it is so overstimulating for them, very noisy. Sometimes just being around so many people, they're picking up the sensitivities and the emotions of others, and they're not quite able to tune that out, so it becomes painful for them. And so that it's important for the teachers to be sensitive to that, and they're very experiential types of children. They learn better by doing than just sitting and rote kinds of things. They need to be out in nature. They need to be outdoors and have activities and be able to just draw and use music and art and writing to enhance their sensitivities and express themselves. So things like repetition at school, they're going to get bored very easily if it's mm-hmm. not given to them in a way that they can have their intellect stimulated and questions that they're full of answered.
Well, you know, I think that for me, I know that I did not like school, and I was very, I'm not stupid, but I did not get good grades at all. I was very, in fact, the only good grade I did get was in drama, and in athletic things. But everything else, I was failing, and I was very detached from how I was in this classroom. It was just didn't feel right. And it was frustrating because I wasn't an idiot. I wasn't stupid, but I did get very poor grades. And then I just stopped going. When I got older, I would ditch, not go to school. And it was very frustrating because I felt like I was also not a part of everybody else too. That, you know, regular people, normal people go to school and they would get great, whatever. It didn't matter. The environment was really difficult for me to maneuver around. And I think now it makes sense looking back because now things, well, I'm doing the work and everything kind of now comes together. So I'm really hopeful or I'm really grateful that if there are teachers now that are, they're crystal, is it indigo or some of the, indigo, some of the, whatever I read, some of them are in their 20s, late 20s to 30 years old right now.
Right.
So yeah, hopefully there is a big, well, it all has to be coming together with the big changes that are coming or we're already in. So this will even help even more so that will, you know, cause and effect for everything. Because I think school is a big problem where some of the children that, like for me, I look back, it was disturbing, you know, not being able to focus and handle. I just couldn't stand it, you know, and I always felt I was stupid, but I wasn't learning in the proper atmosphere.
Right.
They didn't. And so there, you know, you have that. So I think now maybe things, so everything, it's almost like part of the plan, huh? So we were the pioneers that we really had to go through a lot. But I mean, I wanted to know, how do you know if somebody is an indigo or child or adult, or how do you know if that's the case? We're going to take a 1 minute commercial and then we'll come right back and we'll address that. So we're going to take a commercial break from psychicaccess.com.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
And we're back. Thank you. And I'm sorry, Athena, I was asking you before the commercial break, how do you know if you or someone you know is an indigo or crystal child or adult?
Well, usually they will talk about their intuitive abilities and things that they're seeing. It's, you know, for instance, a child may talk about their vivid memories of past life experiences or information and things they're picking up from the people around them. For instance, one email I got from a parent about their crystalline child, Susie, who was 4, would point around the room, usually to the ceiling, and say, there are angels right there. And it's a girl one. And the other one over there is a boy, and they're watching us. And the mother was frightened by that, by her abilities, and said, the angels aren't real. And she replied to the mom, oh, yes, they are. I really see those angels, and they saw me too. And luckily, this mother reached out for information rather than putting down her abilities. Another example, just recently, I just had gotten an email from a parent about her son, Michael, 8. And this is kind of very typical of the indigo and crystal children. When he's 3, he would lead kids at pre-K in meditation. I don't know where he learned it because it didn't come from me. When he was 5, he told me that things were the wrong colors. And then he explained that people and things with eyes have colors around them, sometimes blues, greens, or pinks. And one day he came home from school excited because his friend shined white. He told me that sometimes he just knows things. Like a little girl in school, that her toy would break by the end of the day. And at the end of the day, he was watching when she pulled it out, and it fell and broke. And he said, "I told you so." And one time, when he and I were out, he heard his brother yell, "Mom," real loud, and his brother wasn't with them. He was very upset and confused because he couldn't see his brother anywhere. When they arrived home, the brother told them he was upset because his diabetic numbers really dropped low, and he was scared and wanted to have the mother come home. Recently, she wrote, he has had dreams. He said he is hung upside down by his feet, and there is an angry crowd that has accused him of a crime that he did not do. Then he travels home, goes up the stairs, gets in bed, and he can wake up. He had this dream a few times, and he hates it. He said that he has a rope tied to him in his dreams, and the rope comes from his neck. So these are the kind of experiences that these kids are walking with. They're having a lot of different levels of psychic abilities, past life memories, empathic, precognitive, telepathic, happening all at the same time. So when you're with them, you get that sense. They're very loving, very open. They can see right through you. They're looking to see if you're authentic. They're looking to see who's real and sincere when they're with you, and you know their eyes just kind of pierce right through you. So you get the sense when you're with them that these are very special kids, and even with adults, you get the sense from their demeanor. There's a lot of love and caring that they radiate.
You know, I'm sorry, this microphone of mine. that's really interesting, and that's intense too, as well. That. How old is this child that you were talking about? Just when the email.
Eight.
And that's lovely. You know, your site, because everybody listening in is also is listed, but your site is wonderful because anybody can contact you about, parents can contact you.
Yeah,
and it's really great that you have this going on because I don't know how many places are out there like that, but I know that you address everybody that contacts you, and it's a wonderful resource for any parent out there that has any children, or they're scared for their children because they don't understand. Because I'm sure you've helped a lot of things, turned a lot of what may have appeared negative into a positive, because this is to be embraced and positive. But I think that. The adults who resist change and who value, you know, the rules, and they may misunderstand indigos. Not, like I said, not even the parents, but everybody that are adult figures or authority figures. So they do get misdiagnosed and they do get medicated when they see a psychiatrist. So I know you work closely with the psychiatrist, don't you, with some?
Yes.
Children maybe need that. I don't know. But I think they're overly diagnosed or overly medicated these days.
Yeah, so, unfortunately, I think that tends to be the first thing. You know, you'll get teachers who a child starts speaking in school about these experiences, and they'll encourage the parent to go see a psychiatrist or think they're hearing voices or schizophrenic. And some psychiatrists are more sensitive and holistic and open to the possibilities that this is not, you know, psychosis or hallucinations. But luckily through the website, I've been able to counsel some of the parents on sorting that out, when they might need the medication versus when they don't need it, and not to go in that direction to to validate their experiences. And there is a place and time that sometimes medication might be helpful, but generally I agree. I think there's a tendency to go there first and not see this as a normal way of being, and to just let the child feel validated in their experiences.
Do you find that some of these children that maybe have a lot, like, for I grew up in a very large family. There were 6 kids, ranged from, like, the oldest was 10 years apart or 13 years apart from the youngest. Do you find that there's ever some issues with that, or even the peers, the children that go to school with other children that aren't on the same, or they're not on the same wavelength or energy or whatever, they're nice children, but is that also can be a very, very big problem, can't it, for some of these sensitive being children?
Absolutely. So, I mean, peers tend to tease and be merciless in many ways, especially in middle school anyway. But if you're saying that in any way, especially if you talk about you have these experiences, you know, they want you to perform. I've had that growing up myself, you know, perform on sight. Okay, tell me what I'm thinking. Do a trick, or you're a witch. Or they're frightened of you because of what they've been told by their own parents or their religious upbringing. So that's usually why kids tend to shut down. And they walk into school being very open. They talk to their parents about it, other people in their life that are close to them that believe in them. And they expect the world to respond openly. And unfortunately, not everyone is so open. It is growing and the world is shifting, but they can still feel the negative responses.
Right, but and then on the other hand, there might be children that also feel the same way, and they might nowadays be more open, so they're connecting. Because, it's true, it's almost like they're the crystals, or maybe the rainbows too, they're more about the collectiveness of everybody coming together. So
yeah.
Maybe they're also, they're catching each other now, or they're seeing each other, huh? And I think that, is that true?
I think so. I think they are using their telepathy, their empathic abilities. They're, as I said, they're very watchful, you know, and have a deep love for others. So they tend to be magnets and attract those who are similar in their views and beliefs to them, and adults as well. And hopefully things will be changing, and other people will be much more responsive. And by their presence, they in turn change others.
Well, you're helping that happen with your sight, that's for sure. I mean, really, you're helping a lot of people. That must be a really lovely feeling to have that. I mean, that's what you call good, clean success. Good, clean success when you're having to help people like that be open and saving one more child maybe from going off to being medicated off into La La Land. And also, but you know, like the siblings also, that this is a thing, because they go home, even if the teachers aren't all together with or open to this situation that's going on, it's clear, and they go home and they have a lot of brothers and sisters, and it's almost like, again, they would be more isolated if the parents are on board or are open to them. But if the siblings also are not, that can be real another challenge, another obstacle for them.
Absolutely.
So do you find that when you are, let's say if you're contacted by a family or your parents and they have other siblings, do you feel it's important to find out where the other siblings are, their views or stand, you know, where they're coming from?
Oftentimes the parents will report that in the emails to me or the phone conversations about how the other siblings are handling it. Sometimes they're just as intuitive and are a little afraid to share it or speak up. Sometimes their abilities are not as developed as the one sibling is. But I, you know, try to help the parents be open and validating, and in turn helping the other siblings to be more accepting as well. That their child has a gift, and it's just like if your child woke up one day and was able to play the piano like Mozart did as a child, or a great athlete or performer or artist, this child has another unique gift, and it should be honored and respected and not teased or made fun of by the siblings. On the other hand, you need to help that child also be part of the world and their environment and to get along and be able to be part of it. So not to make a big deal and overdo it and, you know, have them perform for you, but to be just matter of fact and accepting and nurturing.
Yeah, you know, Brenda, that's a good point. I know that I think last time you were here with us a year ago, we talked about certain things that would help children, like meditation and stuff like that. Brenda has a question that's kind of interesting that goes maybe along. Brenda, go for it.
Yes. I was wondering, you know, since indigo children and, you know, psychic and sensitive and special children are so sensitive, I was wondering, does diet play a part in any of that? Like, do they have to eat special foods? Do you ever recommend any special foods for them to eat or stay away from?
Well, oftentimes they're actually, they tend to be grazers. They like to eat a little bit at a time and not big meals. So sometimes parents will report that they're not eating properly and worried about that. A lot of them wind up being vegetarians by choice. But the additives, the artificial additives and colors to foods often don't sit well with them.
Right. And textures. I heard textures they didn't like, too.
Yeah, they're sensitive to that.
Interesting. That's very interesting. Well, it would make sense. If they're sensitive, if they're, you know, they could probably feel the chemicals in it or even smell it or taste it.
Mm-hmm. And their body's highly sensitive and would react to it more so than other children. Even their rooms, it's important that they don't have a lot of visual material bombarding them in their room, that it's pastel colors, soft colors. So it's not in chaos. It's not cluttered. It should be a quiet, safe, visually, physically uncluttered environment so they can go in there and not have all the stimulation, be able to unwind and relax from everything they're bombarded.
Yeah, decompress, right.
Yeah, be around nature, plants, water, having a fish tank in their room or a little rock garden fountain are very helpful for.
Well, that's great information. Thank you.
And also, I remember, like I said, you also can help a child, even at 3 years old, meditate, learn how to meditate.
Sure, they can learn how to put a little protective bubble. I teach the children and even the parents just to envision that they have like a little invisible bubble around them and put their feet on the ground or sit on the edge of the bed and slowly breathe in and envision white light filling the bubble. And then I view it as the love of God or Jesus or the universe, whichever their religious beliefs are. And then as they slowly breathe out, envision the bubble filling their room, and slowly breathe in more white light. And then as they breathe out again a second time, have it fill up their house, breathe in slowly again and fill it with white light, and then slowly breathe out and have it go out into the universe. And anything on the other side of their bubble can't hurt them. A lot of the children are in contact with spirits and get a little worried about that. So it's a kind of a protection around them, but it also helps center them and feel the energy.
Instead of feeling everybody else's, right? I mean, because the empathicness of it all, it's like walking around and you know, have you ever come across any of these children at a young age where they, you know, that is very young, that want to try to exit out of life because they can't handle this?
I don't get them very young saying that. I get teenagers saying that they're are overwhelmed. And teenage years are harder on children who are very empathic and indigo or crystal children that haven't had the support and grounding in their life. They start to have their abilities increase, and they feel bombarded. It's hard enough being a teen with their hormones shifting and changing and emotions shifting. But then all their psychic abilities are magnified as well. So I've had some not know how to handle it and feel just so overwhelmed by it. And luckily, I hope I've helped several of them through their parents who've contacted me. They've learned to do the meditation, to put protection around them, to feel validated, to feel centered.
Yeah, it's like emotional isolation. It's complete emotional isolation to feel that way, where you just don't want to be around. And also, as far as health condition, health problems would go. Now, I'm speaking from only what I know, from my own personal experience. When I was 10, I had some things I just didn't want. I wanted to exit. It was just too much. You weren't around, Dr. Athena. You were just you weren't around.
I didn't know you.
But I also was like, for me, I was actually diagnosed at 13 with an ulcer where I had an upper GI, you know, and the doctors, and it was just, what is a 13-year-old doing with an ulcer? You know, it breaks my heart. But like I said, the world has, well, we have changed. We've grown and we're already in the shift of 2012, which is right around the corner. But it is a new cycle coming. So I think that I'm really looking forward to seeing it, because I think it'll eliminate a lot of sadness with some of these children that have felt, or the 12, 13-year-olds that have felt like I had, and also an array of medical problems that come from it too, because your body just can't take it, and you can't express it to people, no one will listen to you, or so on. So do you have any teenagers that contact you directly through your site too?
I've had a few, yes. Late teens and early, like 20s, I'll have some youth contact me directly that have been searching the website on their own or searching the internet for information. And because I'm not selling anything, it's an information website.
Right.
And I'm just there to help and give information. I don't charge for the consultations and communication. They find it very helpful for them. And some have stayed in touch on and off as they need to. You know, I leave the door open. They can always contact me later on whenever they have questions. Sometimes it's only once or twice, and other times, you know, a year or two later, I'll hear from them.
Oh, if any parent is concerned, or even if a teenager out there or a young 20 adult like that, or anybody as concerned about their child being crazy, or if they're crazy, or wants direction and help, to get some advice, or you'll help them out, they can tell you. And so your website, can you tell us, so that's the website they would contact you at, and
yes,
you can tell everybody that website.
Sure.
I haven't lived.
They can go through either www.perceptivechildren, all one word, perceptivechildren.org, or perceptivechildren.com. More than likely, if you just type in Perceptive Children, it'll pop up, and you'll be able to get there.
And we'll have that also. It's on your guest, on your listing, on our guest page forever.
Great.
And I think it's valuable, so valuable. And like, I don't know myself, you would know, but I don't know how many other wonderful psychologists, parapsychologists do this and offering, and really, like you said, you don't charge, they reach out and you do what you can. And I really want to thank you so kindly for coming back, and I have so much respect for you and what you're doing and helping, and I appreciate you sharing your insights with us tonight very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, Dr. Athena, and so I wish you well, and thank you for what you're doing, really.
You're welcome. Thank you for what you're doing too. It's been wonderful being on your show.
That was lovely having you. It's great. And everybody else, you could say goodbye if you'd like. All my other girls.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
We could talk to you all night. It's just so fascinating, and it's definitely so needed, your work. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
Thanks, Athena. Have a great evening.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Almost, 2012. Good times. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Athena. She's lovely. So to contact Dr. Drews, you can visit, like she said, perceptivechildren.org or .com. I think is what she said. And she's also on our guest page at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. She's wonderful. She's a lovely lady, and she's really doing a lot of good out there. Don't you all agree? It's like,
absolutely. You know, that's very generous. It's a life's path. It's her purpose.
It's her path. Yes, exactly right. And, you know, like I said, wishing won't make it happen, but it would have been nice. But that's okay if it was there for me, particularly. It's all about me. It's always about me. No, but, you know, I really had a struggle. It was very difficult. But anyway, you know, I'd like to take a moment or two to make a few announcements. So please stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics here amongst us. We will announce the call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have your pen or your pencil or your marker paper ready. If you're unable to catch our last week's show on focus phrases, which was fantastic, you will find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all our previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab. So please feel free to circulate the archives link and future show details to your friends, your family, your pet's pets, and everybody else. And because it is our objective to connect with as many individuals as possible, so please be sure to share that link with others. We would greatly appreciate it, and I'm sure that they would enjoy it. So please be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com. This site is great. It's to learn about everything from the paranormal reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. And the authors over there are from psychicaccess.com, the psychics. And there's some very, very good reads over there that really can help a lot of people and everybody. I've read a lot again, it's all about me, pertaining to me, but it's a fantastic site. If you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com and you'll find the best, like us, verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile, and most of them also have a video you can watch on them for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most authentic gifted psychics around. And it is an honor working with Doug. I've known him for many years, and he's Psychic Access, and he's a direct reflection of Psychic Access, of course, and because of his high expectations that is required of each psychic. So all of us here, just three of us tonight, though, but on Psychic Access talkradio.com, work at psychicaccess.com. So if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit again at psychicaccess.com. We'd love to hear from you, and then we can feel the energy all about you. But by the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. For more details, visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. I hope I said the slash webmasters. Okay. If you like our show, please invite your friends to join in the chat room. We have lovely people. And to everybody in the chat room, hello. I haven't been able to be in there, but hello. And listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. It's a lot of fun. There's some really great people, and they're like-minded and really kind people, just lovely people. So spread the word. We would very much appreciate that as well. So here we go. The call-in number for readings at the end of the show is, well, pretty much pretty soon, 724-444-4851. It's Brenda and Steve, you want to put that in the chat room. That's great. I bet you guys have already, huh?
No, but I will do.
I know. Yes, I would
go
like
ahead,
to.
What is it? I'll put it down.
Okay. I would like to. Yeah, I'll say. One more time. I would like to note, please take note, everybody, 9:15 is the time we would like you to call in, not before. It's really important for reasons, but 9:15 is when we ask that you wait to call in. And that number again is 724-444-4851. And again, not until 9:15 Eastern Standard Time, please. Or else, you know. No, I didn't mean that. Hey, Steve. Ho. Hey, ho. What's up?
Hey, ho.
Hey. You know, wasn't she? We're all those special name people too, you know. So Steve, does the indigo energy reflect a shift towards, well, greater intuition and telepathy? I ask you.
I feel so, absolutely. A shift back towards greater intuition and telepathy in my view. And firstly, I wanted to say, Maureen, that I really think that Dr. Drew's work is incredible. It is so impressive and inspiring to know that there are psychologists, professionals out there in their field who are aware of psychic ability and who are at the leading edge of understanding these incredible kids that are gifted to our troubled world. You know, I was doing some research earlier in the week about the pineal gland. That's partly why I asked Dr. Drews the question. And it caused me to read about some of the ancient civilizations, the Greeks, the Egyptians, and psychic ability, telepathy, precognition, etc. These were normal practices, very accepted practices. And so I feel that we moved away from the use of the right hemisphere of the brain, particularly when we moved more towards reasoning, logic, and analysis, which are all very, very important skills and abilities. But if we overly focus on them, we lose some of the potential or ability that comes from the right hemisphere of the brain. That's why I was so excited to hear Dr. Drews talking about encouraging meditation and encouraging these kids that have different learning styles. And for me, it represents a shift back towards a better balance. You could say a better balance between the right brain and the left brain, or a better balance between an analytical, logical world and a more intuitive world. But I believe absolutely that these kids that are on that have come to the planet, and there are more and more of them arriving, and incredible energies arriving, they are a sign of change. They're here to help. They have a role to play in transitioning us towards a better world, and we really should listen to what they have to say. I'm amazed by some of the things that kids come out with. I have a young nephew whose name is Jacob. He's wonderful, and he comes out with statements that are just magical, that really make you reflect upon how you reason and how you see the world. So they're a huge sign of change, and they bring incredible gifts of telepathy and wonderful connections with spirit.
Yeah, you know, it makes sense too. And what's so nice now is, through the years from the time I was a child, it's a really nice, you know, it's really almost like it's poetic justice for me because of all those years, I mean, really, I've been told I was crazy or whatever. It occurred to me one time when I was in the shower, I got really angry. It was just like in the past year, and screamed. I go, those people in my family, they were the crazy ones, not me. They just told me I was crazy but now it's nice because we've come to the time where people now, us adults, and you know what, are open to this, and we're all now, why can't we all just get along? And the children now are part of that, and I really feel it's almost like a healing for me to watch it or going on, and even talking to Dr. Athena, it's a healing for me through the years that it was so difficult. I'm not feeling sorry for myself. It was just difficult. You know, things are different. So I think that it's wonderful that the adults are taking the time to stop and listen or look or observe or whatever and be in awe and say, my goodness, what a gift this is. And you're right about going back into the history, Steve. It's funny. It all comes back around, doesn't it? The way it should be.
Yeah, and I think that people like Dr. Drews in the psychological field, and people that are leading the way in the education system are so important because they are facilitating this change. They're creating an awareness and creating parenting and teaching styles mm-hmm. and environments that do actually nurture these mm-hmm. kids and their exceptional gifts.
Yeah, and it's important. She's saving a lot of lives. I think, like I said, there's a lot of suicide children because they couldn't handle it. But yeah, she is, and I, it's great. But yeah, Brenda. Hi, Brenda.
Hello.
I liked your story that you talked about your daughter. You know, it's interesting. My daughter.
It was so fascinating.
Yeah, it is fascinating. And you know, my daughter. I remember she said something to me. One time she said, I picked you because I needed you, like to be my mom. She goes, I picked you, my daddy, because he needed me. And really, it's dysfunctional, so we won't go there. But I know that one time I did something I became aware of that was really bothersome. My daughter was 3, and she said, look, there's a woman out in the tree. And, she looked out the window we lived mm-hmm. on the second floor. And this tree was right out there, and the windows were open or something, whatever. My blinds were open. And I said, immediately I did what I thought, why would I ever have done it? But I stopped. But I went, as soon as she said it, I immediately wanted to close those blinds because she didn't say she was scared. She said there was a woman in a tree, you know, and I go, what? And I got up, and then while I'm doing it, it was almost like I'm feeling in myself. I was very self-aware, and I go, what am I doing to my child? So I stopped, and I go, okay, and I opened the blinds back up because that's the same thing that I was being dismissed before. So I really liked, you know, you sharing that story about your daughter. It was beautiful. So have you noticed that the Indigo children are coming into this world with psychic gifts? Well, there you go.
Well, we were talking about it the whole show, but I think that some of the things go beyond just the precognitive dreams and, some of the, psychic sensitivities and, things like that, to even like levitation and stuff like that, moving objects around. I really feel that, they are so open at a young age that, it's about the interconnection between ourselves, the earth, and the universe. And I believe that at the young age, before they've had all this conditioning, that really, the world and the universe is the limit for a child. And I, even when they sleep, they might travel, go places. It might not be dreams. It could be traveling.
Yeah.
It could be, visiting other times and spaces. And it, to me, it's, when I look at it and I think about, because I liked what Steve brought up as far as the ancients, and they had worlds that were very different than us, especially, I love ancient Egypt, but that was a magical society, and they call it magical society because it was all about your interconnection with the universal truths, the earth, the cycles of the earth, the universe. It was all about that connection, and children can feel that. It's like when they're taught not to, oh, you're just crazy, oh, you're making things up, that they shut down.
Yeah, the conditioning. And some children, you cannot break the conditioning. And that I'm only speaking of my own personal experience, and that's what happened with me. That was very, again, disturbing because you can't sometimes – and it happens – I don't think the parents – when I was growing up, my parents, I'm going on that, we're doing this consciously. But the bottom line is we all come into this world with this incredible mm-hmm. wit, as we live on the children, they're on their wits. They can't talk, but they know. Like I always tell people, you got a business meeting, you bring a child with you.
Because they're going to cut to the chase. They're going to see the truth.
Yes.
They're not going to do the pussyfooting around that you do. Do you know what I mean?
No, they're not.
My parents were very supportive of me because my mother's clairvoyant. So,
that's nice.
And they just were very supportive of me. When I was babbling all this stuff and I was into all this strange stuff, they just kind of went with it. I was lucky.
No, that was not lucky. That's the way it should have been. And I'm not putting down my parents. Well, I have because of this, but I was pretty well. I took it on. I was a SpongeBob at the time, but I also was raised Catholic. But the thing of it was, it didn't have to be like that because, mm-hmm. You're coming into the world and you can't speak or whatever, but I noticed, you know, children get stressed out. If they can't say it or talk it, they're stressed about amongst parents. They know it. They feel it. And if we would just take time to be still for a moment, I think we are. We are. It's 2012, I think, is now. It's not this, the shift. It's already been happening. It's the cycle we're heading in. And I'm really looking forward to it because it all comes into this, too, with the children and helping us adults kind of be still. And
meditation is the key to it all, to it all. Meditation.
Yes, I know.
Centering your mind and body and
it's easy
emotions. Blah, blah, blah. Really, seriously.
You're right. You're right. And like last week, I was just, I can, even if it's for 1 minute, everybody, I have a hard time with commitment with meditation from TM days. But I do know if I just take 1 minute, like when we were on the show last week, great guest. He did a little thing, you know, just close your eyes. That was really great for me. It wasn't that much time we did it. But mm-hmm. So
it was. That was so, awesome.
So basically, I mean, you are these indigo children more creatively of creative motivated rather than academically. Yeah, Brenda, what do you think? Yes, of course.
Well, I encountered that with my daughter because she's very creative and very artistic, and she was not in school, she was completely did not get math at all. She just could not comprehend it. And I know she's a smart girl, but she just didn't want to do it. And she, but everything else, anything, the writing, anything with the arts, she excelled at. And I feel that a lot of the sensitive kids, they go well with the creative stuff because it's easier for them to, you know, kind of channel their sensitivity, you know?
Yeah, and maneuver around and feel somewhat of some
exactly.
control of their life.
And she would even tell me that. She would even say, she would say, well, when I sing, then it calms me down.
Right. No, that's true. You know, and you know, you read for my daughter. By the way, she's been raving, just saying so many lovely things about you.
Oh, how nice! So sweet.
Well, but she's an interesting example of the two between two worlds. She
definitely.
Has.
She walks in both worlds.
Well, she does. She's an academically, and so I mean, I'm so proud of her. I could never be doing that. And just until recently, she said she wasn't wanting to go to med school, but I'm okay with that. But she's going to go off and be a PhD. But the thing of it is, she, I think, may be part of something that maybe we need to think about. She's going to help neuroscience with the brain and bringing in because she's studying with the meditation with psychiatry. So we need those kids.
She'll be another Dr. Athena, and we need her.
Yeah, but on the other hand, she's very scientific, you know, with things like, but she grew up with me. So in a way, I watched her wisdom, and she questions things because of her scientific mind that she has. But things have changed, and she's going to be a pioneer for that. That will really help that other part of our, the other part of our world, or people that make up our world of rules and all that stuff. That also we'll all collectively come together and get it. You know, the doctors and all that, knock it off. But you know, Steve, what next? What next?
What next? Well, I was asking this question last night. I meditated and I said to my guides, what next? And we use these terms, indigo children, crystal children, rainbow children. And I read Doreen Virtue's wonderful book, The Care and Feeding of Indigo Children. And I know that she's published some wonderful information about rainbow children, crystal children. And I'm not by no means an expert in that field, but I wanted to share what my guide said. I said, what next? And they said, emerald.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, and so I immediately thought, okay, I'm going to look up the properties of the emerald. And I was so excited when I saw definitions about this stone, because it's known as the stone of abundant, unlimited love and healing.
Oh, so
and
nice.
And that's certainly what we need in this world. So I'm not saying that there are emerald children arriving. I'm not an expert.
No, that's kind of cool. I love that.
I thought,
awesome.
How perfect. We need, if that is the energy.
It's pretty clear.
That is what we need.
It's very clear. We need love. Love. We need love. And, you know, I would like to have an emerald mountain somewhere.
Emeralds are more valuable than diamonds. Good one.
No, but it's true. You know, it's funny because you bring up that. I used to tell a story. I make up a story to my daughter when she's little, and I talk about the crystal mountains and the – I think I was talking about Atlantis, you know, where it came from, because we didn't talk. That's why I have problems with talking too much now. But we didn't have to talk. And I would talk about the emerald – I used to say – and there's this, and I could visualize it. I'd say there's a beautiful emerald mountain, and I once in a while would put a ruby in there, but mostly I'd do emerald mountain. And I don't know why, but I would say emerald – and that's lovely, Steve, and it makes sense to me why – I mean, looking
absolutely.
At absolutely, you know,
and
really.
You know, Maureen, the apparently the emerald is also symbolic of a balance between the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual.
That's perfect, and that it can't get much better than that. That's exactly what we need. We're thriving for.
Yeah, we'll take it.
I'll take it. And I'm. Oh, count me in.
Emeralds for everybody.
Are you giving them out, Steve?
Oh, yes, yes. Just come to my website and I'll dispatch them to you. Come to Psychic Access, we'll send them out.
Wouldn't that be lovely if we had a big mountain? We could just kind of like chunk it out. No, I'm growing one right now in my home on the beach. And the dolphins are protecting it while it's coming up through the – never mind. I'm going to go off the deep end here. But not the
you know, I'll tell you a very quick story, guys. Yeah. I'll tell you a very quick story that just comes to mind. I remember quite a number of years ago, I went to India and I wanted to have an emerald ring made. I don't know why. It was one of my mad moments. I just had this thing in my head and wanted to get it made. And I had an emerald ring made and the stones were beautiful, but the setting was really bad. And I was really disappointed. So I had another emerald ring made, like an eternity ring. And it was delivered to me in the UK because I lived in the UK at the time. And it arrived and it was just not right at all. It was like an old railroad, but the stones were beautiful. And I actually gave them away to friends. I think I gave one to my sister and I gave one to a friend for them to have the stones taken out of the ring and then to make something else with them. But I asked Spirit, well, why were these two rings not right? And the answer I got was, you were being materialistic and flashy, and that's not what the emerald represents.
Oh, shame on you, Steve. Shame
I was,
on you.
I was. I can be on occasions, but I'm learning. I've learned a lot recently. But yeah, they said that's not what the stone represents. So it was a lesson for me.
So emeralds for everyone. Yeah, no, that's very – actually, that's synchronicity because now look at how you see emeralds now. And you know, the emerald children were probably – they will probably be labeled that, Stephen. And what then? What are we going to say? We're going to have to put you on some pedestal.
You're going
to
be all about love.
I know. Well, you know, you guys, we have come to the part of the show where we will be taking your calls and questions. Yay. So you can either call in or ask your question in the chat room. But however, we do have to take the call-ins first due to their wait time. So get ready. When you got Brenda or Steve, you could type this in. I'm going to give the number out. The number – call-in number for your free reading is 724-444-4851. I guess I'll repeat it again, 724-444-4851. Please be aware that each call will automatically be placed on a hold, and it will be answered in the order received. So please relax and just listen to the show while you wait, because nobody will be talking to you or saying hello. And also, we ask that you be very clear and direct about your question, because we're on a time frame here and we can only take one question per person, as this will allow for us to take all your calls waiting for a reading, all of you. Okay, so the first caller is for Brenda in Tennessee. There you go.
Well, I don't know if this is from Tennessee. It looks like
maybe.
Okay,
maybe
this caller from California.
Oh,
hi there,
sorry.
California. Hello. Oh, sorry.
Georgia.
Hello, Georgia. How can I help you this evening?
Wait for it. California, Georgia, Tennessee.
Well, I don't know. If you're out there,
come to us.
I'm ready.
Yes. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can now. Oh, okay. Is this Marlene?
No, this is Brenda.
Hi, Brenda. This is
Hi,
Steva.
What can I do for you this evening?
Oh, well, you know, I plugged in because I got a message from Marlene, so I just thought I'd call. I didn't know about the Psychic Access Talk Show radio, so I just thought I'd call in, and and it says you're doing some reading about that. So I just,
we are. Do you have a question for us, for me tonight?
Well, basically, I guess it's kind of a work business relationship kind of question.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm in this new relationship and everything, and I'm trying to work out my businesses, and I'm just, you know, it's just kind of up and down. I just wondering if I was going in the right direction, you know? So
it feels like the business, you're on the right track with it. It's just going to take a little time. I feel you're going to get some real good news, you know, about your business, like you're waiting for something to happen. You know, January is a good month for you. Right around mid-January, there's some real good news coming. It's going to represent kind of an opening financially, like an extra boost that comes through the business. So if it's kind of wobbly right now, it is going to change. I believe it's like you're laying some foundations. Now, as far as the love is concerned, don't get afraid here, because it feels like you could think about, oh no, is this relationship going like the ones in the past? I'm getting that this is a relationship that's going to move a little slower, but I do see that it's very solid. I do. Mm-hmm. Is there a distance between you and your loved one?
Actually, your own point, because it is very slow.
Yeah, it's real slow.
It's slow.
But
I
feel it'll gain some momentum. What do I see on the other side of this? What do I see as far as like what's going to happen in the future? I do believe that this is moving in a direction that will be very solid one day, and a committed relationship too. You've got things you have to take care of. He's got things he has to take care of. And then the business, and some of the reason why the universe is doing this is so that you can get your business off the ground and move it forward, you know. If you were like head over heels and this relationship was going super fast, it could present some distractions to your success.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's maddening because we want it all and we want it now. But know that this is a process, and it's happening this way for a reason.
Right. And it's not fast as in fast, bad girl fast. It's kind of like, you know how us women, we like a little bit more affection here and there, you know, just a little bit more attention here and there. But, you know, I think you're definitely right about that, you know.
Well, and, it's what's inside that counts, and slowly but surely you're getting, he's revealing to you who his inner self is. And he looks like he's a pretty good guy. That's what I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, you didn't need any numbers or anything.
Oh, well, you want lottery numbers. Oh, well, that's for another time, my dear.
No. I'm just saying most people in reading, like for me, I have to be around people's like total energy, and I think that's pretty cool. Like I'm just on the phone, and like you're hitting it on play. You know, that's what people are. What's your birthday? What's your this or that? And
oh, I see what you mean. Okay. No, sometimes it just opens up. It's the energy of your, when I pick up the energy just when you're speaking, then that's how we do it anyhow.
Wow. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
That's great. Thank you. That's wonderful, Brenda. That was a nice compliment. And yes, Brenda's very good at it. Yeah, we just hear we hear noises. We hear voices. That was very nice that she addressed that, because that is true, because it is, people understand we can do this through the phone. I didn't, you know, well, I've been doing it. The next caller is for Steve from California. Thanks, Brenda, for that. I'm reading them. Steve, California.
Thank you, Maureen. Who do we have calling from California? Hello? Who's calling from California?
Somebody needs to turn down their opera. I think they're maybe in the showroom. Well, that's California, I think, is just try Tennessee. Let's go for
Tennessee.
You and Tennessee go hand in hand.
My home state. Who's calling from Tennessee? Hello, Tennessee?
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
Patricia.
Patricia.
Yes.
Hi, Patricia.
Hey. So I'm calling. You were talking about an emerald. You're talking about an emerald ring, and I was told that an emerald ring would come to me. Could that happen in 2012?
Could it happen in 2012?
Yeah.
You know, Patricia, when you ask that question, I'm drawn really strongly to the month of August. My guides show me the number 8. And, you know, in tarot, the number 8 is the number of the strength card. So I feel drawn to strength, and I feel drawn to the comments we made before about the qualities of the emerald, particularly, and somehow those qualities are very relevant to you and whatever you're doing. And again, I'm drawn to August. I feel that you're showing great strength, but also, you know, the number 8, if you put it on its side, it represents infinity, or eternity, cosmic consciousness, or our interconnectedness in spirit or through spirit. So I'm drawn to August. Does that answer your question?
Well, I'm having a little trouble hearing, but I'll listen back to it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care.
Uh-huh.
Well, I think August is good. That's period. It's my birthstone for August. And so emerald, I should be receiving in August. That was a great reading, Steve. It was lovely. And August. August is that was nice. And yes, you can listen back. Anybody that really can't hear very well, sometimes that does happen, go back to the archives. You can, you know, fast forward if you need to, but you'll want to hear the interview too. And you can listen to your reading over and over again. So Maureen's turn, which is me, and hello, California, my neck of the woods.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Tammy.
I'm sorry, did you say Tammy Kenny?
Tammy.
Tammy, got it. Hi, yes. And what can I help you with or focus in on for you?
I'm trying to focus on the future and work and all.
Future and the work, you know. Okay, is there any, directly speak? How about this? How about if I look at it this way? You would like to know, as far as your work situation in the future goes, if you're heading the right direction? Does that sound good?
Correct. Yeah, okay. I feel like I'm never going to get anything better.
That's not a good feeling to have, is it?
Falling out from under me.
Right. You know, Tammy, this is what I'm getting. You know, I do feel that there's a lot of incompletion around you, or it feels like it is, or it feels like you haven't had any completions. And I don't think that's so much a fact. I just feel that in order for, you know, when a completion of everything happens, when someone comes to a completion, you come back to the beginning or a new beginning. So completion is like the yin and the yang. But I feel that, you know, you said something just by saying that. You said, well, in a way, I think that you've kind of become a little bit disappointed in your past or how things have gone. Though, well, I do feel that really what I'm seeing, my perspective on this is that needs to be a full circle completed, because I see you heading in very soon feeling as if you do have faith and there's a white light at the end, or light at the end of the tunnel, or the darkness before the dawn, whatever you want to call it. I see that you will be able to, and I think maybe what I'm also seeing is that you've gone through some intense transformation, and it's not a transformation, it's an intense, major overhaul in, it's not that you asked for it, of where your beliefs and your values and your morals come from, and you've rebuilt. We were talking about that on the interview about conditionings and such. You have just recently, and it's a slow change, and you're almost through with it. It usually goes 6 months to a year. It's very uncomfortable. You don't know how to word it. You've rebuilt what works for you in your life, not what you were conditioned with. So what happens is people won't fit into your life. Things are changing. That is a really great feeling, but it also is very uncomfortable. But I see you having a lot of, I just see your mindset changing, and in the next few weeks, I see an extremely positive outlook on things. I see a woman energy, and it's almost like you're a beacon. You know, you have a very spiritual energy, beacon light. A lot of people come to you for help, don't they?
Kind of, yes.
I like it when people say kind of, because, you know, that's all. Yeah, and that's all good and well, because you have a lot of wisdom, but this is the thing. There's a woman I see here who I feel that you're going to be connected with in an opportunity in your work of some sort. And it's interesting because I feel you may know of her, but she's a woman who may not be married anymore or whatever. She's a strong warrior type of woman who could very well be out for a war if necessary, but she's very witty. She's had a lot of intense experiences through bad relationships, but she's a woman that can stand on her own two feet. She has dark hair. She's very strong, but she's also she doesn't need a lot of people talking about a lot of things. She's going to be really instrumental. Have you thought about doing your own business?
Yes, I have, all the time.
You do?
Yes, I do.
You're going to do well. She's going to be instrumental in this. The two of your energies are interesting. They're different, but they will fuse very well. I do feel that any relationship that might be involved in your life, any type that might be one that is not, it's almost like dragging you down or feeling as if is pulling you down into the lower vibrational, stay away from that, because right now it is your time to really thrive in the work that I see you're heading towards. But I do see you taking on and getting back the faith, like I said, that whatever that means to people, church, or I go to the beach or mountain, whatever
right.
That means. I do see you getting a whole different view, and it's just fantastic, and you are almost done with that. Like I said, you rebuilt your foundation. So I see you moving forward.
Yeah,
things are really positive.
Do you see a positive in a lawsuit?
Yeah, I do, actually. I do. Absolutely. Uh-huh.
So I should go forward with it.
Yeah, I feel right now you should go forward with anything, because I think you're very – because things have changed in the way you have – your foundation completely has changed.
Okay.
That's why I feel that, yes,
much.
You should. Absolutely.
Well,
I'm not one
thank
to tell people to go sue everybody, but whatever it is, yes, you're strong enough, and I think that you are seeing yes, I do. I think it'd
right.
be very positive.
Right. Thank you very, very much, and Happy New Year.
You too. Bye-bye. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Okay. That was nice. Okay. We have Brenda from for New York. Brenda.
Who am I speaking to from New York?
This is Christina.
Hi, Christina. What do you need tonight?
You?
What can I do for you?
I just want general advice. Right now I'm single and I'm dating three different guys, nothing serious. And I was just wondering, do you see a potential serious romance coming out between any of them?
Let's take a peek here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're definitely the queen. And it's the feast time. It's not the famine. And it's always kind of like that. It's either feast or famine.
Yes.
Each one of these men have something that you really like, that you're really attracted
yes.
to. And they all have a quality. It's too bad you can't just mash them all into one.
Exactly.
But,
that's exactly how I feel.
I believe that these... it's about the attraction energy that's around you now. And there are these three, and there's one of them that I feel is more quiet than the other two, that I feel that you're going to get to know him on a deeper level. And there's many layers to him. And I do believe that he may end up being the serious contender. And do they know about each other?
Well, yeah, they know I'm single, and I don't talk in depth about it, but, you know, they know I
date
other
people. They can sense it, yes, they sense it. I believe the quiet one, you have to watch out for him. He's going to come up from behind, my dear, and I feel he's going to win you.
I look at it, and then I don't really look at the most. That's funny, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, because of the experiences from the past, and you know, this happens to all of us, we're like gun-shy. It almost has to be that way for you. He's got to kind of, like, you know, come out of left field. Because if you're looking for it, you may overanalyze it and say, you know, I don't want to go there. But I believe that this man, the quiet one, will surprise you.
Is this the one with the K initial?
Yes.
So there's two K initials and is one S.
Well, this one has a K.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And he's going to rise above the others. He's the quieter one of the K's.
Interesting. Do you see, like, a serious relationship becoming from this, or?
I do. I feel that
2012,
I see plans, future plans in the area of love. I also see that something may evolve financially for him, in which he's in a good position. And then I believe he'll be generous and share.
Oh, okay.
That'll be nice.
Oh, that's good to know. That's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome, my dear. You hang in there.
Okay. Thank you.
That was lovely, Brenda. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And Steve, a call from California. Lots of California people calling. California, I believe. California.
Good evening, California. Who's calling from California?
Well, you're psychic. You should know.
I don't know what happens each week when I take a call. People disappear. Is anybody from California on the line? No? I think we've lost California, Maureen.
I don't know what about California, because maybe they're... Okay, then I guess we can go to another one in another state. How about... Okay. How about... Doug saying...
Another California.
California.
Let's keep trying. Who's calling from California? Hello, California?
Hello?
Hi, what's your name?
Julian.
Julian, how are you?
Good, and you?
Very well, thank you. How can I help?
I was just calling because, I'm 18, and I got into a little trouble with the law, I guess, and my court date's coming up, and I just wanted to know if everything was going to be okay. I've never got in trouble before. It's just something that happened, you know?
Okay, let me see. What is your... Tell me the date, Julian.
What was that?
Can you tell me the date? Which date is it?
I couldn't really hear that. Can you say it again, please?
Could you tell me which date? Which date are you... due to being caught?
It had to do with drugs. But
well, I was asking you which date, Julian. But don't worry. Maybe the line's not very clear, but I feel that you will be okay. Actually, I feel that because it's a first offense, and somehow because of the circumstances, I feel that you'll be okay. My guides are saying that you're young, you're 18, you needed to learn this lesson now rather than later on, and the value of it is to really integrate what you've been trying to learn here from this experience, and move forward with that learning. But
yeah,
no, like, I feel that you'll be like, okay. I feel that you've really, this has really woken you up, and I feel that it's given you a lot of clarity actually about the path you want to take in life, and particularly your studies and your career, and how this kind of scenario could, if it repeated, get in the way of your professional dreams, which I know are very important to you. My guides say you're a bright guy, and you should also be very interested in, I feel as though my guides are giving me psychology, and I feel some connection with you, some professional connection to psychology. Are you interested in psychology?
Well, probably not right now, but maybe in the future I will, but it's more into like music right now, like, I don't know.
Well, I do feel that you'll develop an interest in psychology and in understanding people. But my guides give you the month of April, and they say that you'll be okay. You'll be reprimanded, but you'll be okay. And just make sure that you integrate the lesson. But I feel...
Yes.
I feel it actually gets resolved in January, but for some other reason, there's celebration around you in April. You may find actually that there's a family celebration. It could well be a wedding because I'm seeing two people, but I feel it'll be resolved in January. And my guides say to you, really reflect upon what you've learned and take that with you when you have to go to court, but you'll be okay.
Thank you. You don't know how much this like really is like a stress reliever right now. It's just like, thank you really, really much.
You're welcome. Well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
All right, that was a
good reading, Steve, and good reading for the person asking for it. Okay, and Maureen's next with Tennessee. I'm Maureen. Hi, Tennessee.
Hi.
Hi. And what's your name?
Hi. Sonia.
Hi, Sonia. And what can I help you with?
Hi. I am getting ready to make some changes in my life and go through a transition. I'm applying to graduate school and thinking about moving pretty far away. I'm just wondering if I'm making the right decision.
So you got your whole life ahead of you. You got so many great. You got the. That's a great place to be. And you know, this is the thing. I feel definitely this is not something you just top of your head. I want to move and do this. You're going to graduate school. That's great. But you're going to be relocating. Is it because you were accepted to graduate school for the relocation area you need to go to for the school? Is that part of it?
Yes.
Or is it? Okay. This is the thing I feel.
I'm
you are really
a
getting a
bit,
burden. I'm sorry. What was it? I'm sorry. I didn't get that.
Oh, no, it's okay. I'm also feeling a little bit conflicted because I'm also very tied to the arts, and I'm just worried that I'm going to lose that part of my life.
Okay, I got it. You know what? First of all, I feel that you really have been just recently released a big burden from your back. I mean, I really see that you physically probably feel, I know you're young, I know you're youthful, but you feel a lot better, more so. It's like a big burden. And as well as I see your home is now, it looks like you had a visitor around your home, but that's no longer going on, but that's gone, that's no longer going on. You too as well, there's a lot of people in here, or the other last reading, you too have gone through a real intense change. Like I said, where you rebuild your walls that make up all your, who you are, not what you were conditioned with. The thing of it is, I think you're saying you're a little fearful about some things. I think that's some of the old stuff because I think I'm seeing some family or parents or someone here that may not be, not getting it, or maybe a professor. I'm not sure what this is about. That's almost like there's lack of support for something here, or you don't have someone you can really talk to about this. I see you heading towards a situation where you're going there's going to be a lack of financial help. But I do feel that you tend to work very, very hard in your anything you do, and you can get burnt out. It's almost like you're the workaholic, and then it's exhausting. I know being in school and going to graduate school can be. I think you're making – this whole time is really interesting. There's a mother figure here. I don't know if it's your mother, but she's not very supportive of something about whatever you're – does this make sense to you? Because I'm – are you following me on this?
It does.
Okay.
Yeah.
I really think because of what you've got, what you like, it's so fresh and new, this long thing. Some people are not going to, you're not meeting everybody's expectations. It doesn't matter. You're not, no need to worry. You know, how are you in your early 20s?
Yes.
Okay. So you remind me of my daughter because she's amazing. And what you're doing, you're not going to lose that other part of yourself because this is what we were talking about. It's a great thing to be having the balance of both. Okay. You have the balance of both. You're taking a big burden off your back by redoing what works for you in your walls and that now you have your own things, your own set of ways, which are very well placed, and you have a lot of integrity. And I think some people, it's okay if they don't want to get it. If your mother, whatever, it's okay. I would suggest being very careful not to burn out because when you burn out, then you start getting back into it, carrying on too much on your back. And I don't feel that there's any reason for you to have any – there's not a valid fear going on that you're going to lose part of yourself. You are who you are. You're wonderful. You're absolutely wonderful. And you're also a very brave woman, young woman, because you did challenge yourself to get what you thought worked for you. And that's pretty intense to do because you strip yourself of everything you've learned. And that's very uncomfortable. And you've already been going through it for a while. It's wonderful. You're doing fine. You're heading the right direction. Everything is how it should be.
Good.
No, you know this yourself. I think there might be a delay a little bit on something to do with a home, but that's okay. I think just a little bit of a delay. It's okay. Whoever doesn't agree with you or expect, it's okay. You can handle that. It's all right. It's okay. So you just keep doing what you're doing. It's fantastic. And I wish you well. You have your whole life, and it's going to be wonderful. Well, sometimes maybe a little bit. but yeah, you're doing just fine. I just validated for you. That's all. Thank you for calling.
That does help. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Next caller from California, Brenda.
California rocks. That's all I can say, you know. hi there from California. Who am I talking to? Hello? Hello, California. Is it just me?
Just they keep asking, I guess. Maybe it's
Hello,
just me.
Hello, California. Hello, hello. Okay, then you lost out. Okay, Texas. Hello there. Hi, Texas.
Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Hello?
Hi.
Yes. Hi.
Are you calling from Texas?
Yes, I am.
Okay. What is your question tonight, my dear?
That's a simple question, I guess. I have been struggling trying to find work in the field that I'm in, and I am trying to find out if it's going to happen for me anytime soon.
Let's take a peek here. Well, you're right about the struggle. It just looks like you hit a bunch of brick walls last year, because in 2 days we'll be in the new year. In many ways, it wasn't meant to happen last year. What I see happening by May, and it could even be before May, I see a man intervening on your behalf and recommending you for a position. And strangely enough, and maybe not so strangely enough, this is the position that you're meant to have. The location is good, and the money looks like it's really good. And this man is an older man, but again, I feel it's closer to the end of March, between March and the first part of May, is when this thing is offered to you in solid. It's a solid job that's offered to you. So it is coming.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
That's what I need to know. I've had a lot of struggles with my husband being ill, and I've taken time to take care of him, and now it's time for me to get back in the work field.
You're going to get back in the swim of things. Well, you had to take care of him. It feels like he's stabilizing. How's he feeling lately?
He's good. Right now, he's doing really well. He has appointments tomorrow that he has to go endure with tomorrow.
I see your husband standing on his own, so it looks like he's going to be able to come back out of this thing. He won't be 100%. He won't be like he was 25, but he's going to be better. Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that makes me feel better.
Well, you know, you did what you had to do, and that's probably why it didn't happen for you last year. It wasn't the right timing. The opening is for 2012.
Awesome. I'm looking for the new year.
All right,
thank
my dear.
Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Bye.
Thank you, Brenda. And Steve, you get to California, the last call. Hi, California.
Let's try again. Hello, California.
Hello?
Hi, what's your name?
Reggie,
how are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good, Reggie. How can we help?
What do you see for me in the new year?
What do we see for you in the new year? You know, I get the word empowerment for you, Reggie. I feel as though you've had quite a lot of challenges this year. You know, as I tune into you, I feel almost as though you feel that this year just hasn't gone according to plan. And so I feel that in 2012, you'll feel empowered. I feel that you'll be stronger and particularly determined relating to your work. But I want to say to you as well that I see family. I see parents and children, and my guides are saying to you to just reflect upon what you want next year, because it's quite likely that you could be a father next year or somehow have responsibility for a child. So my guides flag that with you and ask you to just reflect upon what your priorities are and where you want to focus, and to make sure that the action you take is aligned with where you want to go in 2012. That's what I feel for you.
Are you still there?
Can you hear me?
Huh?
Can you hear okay?
You're breaking up a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, I heard most of it.
Yeah. I mean, in brief, the message is you'll have a much better year. And
that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, you will have a much better year. It's positive. But just consider where you want your focus to be, because from what I see, it is possible that you would start a family next year or have a child, and you need to consider whether that's actually your intention or your priority for next year. And if it's not, then be aware of what Spirit has shared with you.
Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye now.
Thank you, Steve. That was very clear. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Yeah, the British say thank you too much.
Thank you. Thank you for Team Quickets. I think we're going to wrap it up. As in not the rap, well, I can rap dance. But we are going to say our goodbyes. And I would like to say thank you to Doug, all the people that are in the chat room, and people listening later. Thank you. And Doug, thank you for all the work you do behind the scenes. He really does a lot, and he's even in the chat room and doing that stuff. He's our executive producer. And thank you to my co-host. And next week's show will be anchored by Brenda. What can you have planned for us next week?
Well, next week we're going to be talking about soul astrology, soulmates, and what your purpose is as revealed in astrology, your soul purpose, and how to identify your soulmates, and just everything about who you are and your astrological sign. It's going to be very fascinating, and our guest is going to be Georgia Vlahos.
I'm excited. I'm really excited about that show. Mm-hmm. I'm absolutely fascinated by astrology.
So, yes. It's really good.
It'll be fantastic. Everybody will not want to miss that. And I was on, say, Georgia. 1985 was a fun time for me, I think, too. So there you have it, you guys. Thank you. And you guys say goodbyes. And thanks, everybody. And see you next week.
Bye, everybody. See you next week.
Good night, everyone.
Hello. My name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.